Psalm 119. This Psalm 119 is, of course, been a big part of our reading this week, if you've been keeping up. It's a long psalm, but it's unique in many ways. It's divided in 22 parts or stanzas, like as we talked about songs. Are similar. It says it's denoted by 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So you, as you see in your Bibles, Alpha, Beta, Beth, and all these are the Hebrew alphabet. It says each stanza contains 8 verses. I didn't realize that till I read that in my commentary. And the first letter of each verse is that which gives the name of the stanza. And you'll notice as you read through this, and it's kind of where we're going to focus in, the real focus or the content is primarily speaking of God's word, God's precepts, his law, but primarily focused upon God's word. In fact, in each stanza, it talks about something about God's word, with the exception of the first stanza, which in essence does, in a sense, but it talks about its precepts. But you'll see the word or the word of God mentioned in every stanza, some stanzas 2 or 3 times, but at least one time. So it's a neat little psalm. So as we looked at the different stanzas and then different things it says about God's word, one of the things, if you look at verse 103, for example, it says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Psalm 89, if you want to look at real quickly, it says, "Your word forever, O Lord, your word settled in heaven." And then your judgments are right. I forgot to write which one that was. And so it kind of talks about God's word as kind of the benefit or how that makes us feel, right? How God's word makes us feel. And I was thinking about this, and we live in a time, and even in the church, unfortunately, where God's word is not revered. In other words, it's not celebrated as God's word anymore in many places, in many churches. And of course, that's part of where we found the separation of from the church of brethren, because the really conflict over God's word and what it truly means and what it stands for. So I ask you, if somebody came to you and said, "Well, what makes it God's word? Right? Why can you articulate? Can you explain to why you believe this is truly God's word? Why? I mean, you know, you have critics will say, "Well, it's just something somebody wrote down, right? Why do you consider this God's word, right? As a believer in Jesus Christ, why do we think this is God's word?" You know, we can, as a quote here, it says, Gershwin says that things that you are liable to read in the Bible isn't necessarily so. After all, it says the skeptic, the book is so chock full of fanciful stories and over-the-top miracles, no reasonable person could believe it. Why should we think the Bible is actually from God? And do you believe that is much of the stance of many people in the world today, and especially in this country? I listened to a podcast of a pastor who does a lot of going around college campuses and witnessing to the college kids. And you hear that very same stance from many of the young people today, right? Well, what makes this God's word? It's just, you know, of course, they're being taught this from professors and many other people, in some cases from their own parents. The fact that the Bible ain't real, there's a bunch of fancy stories or miracles you can't believe about, right? And so, again, we live in a world where the Bible is not revered, it's not believed to be God's Word. Well, it really starts with us right here, right? Can we articulate, can we say why we believe this is God's Word, right? I mean, well, we grew up and we were told this is God's Word, and so, you know, we could do the old parent standby, right? Because I said so, right? You know, when the kids ask you 100 questions, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? And Caleb never did that, right? And did your mom ever, dad ever say, because I said so? They got tired of coming up with the answer, you know, or maybe we couldn't even come up with an answer why, that whatever you were asking. Well, again, we as Christians do a poor job of explaining, and maybe it's because we don't never stopped and thought about it, right? Why is this God's Word? Why do we believe this is God's love letter, as it's often put as? Why do we believe that God, you know, what makes it God's Word, right? Could it be just a bunch of people wrote down a bunch of stuff and we say, oh, this is the Bible, and we, you know, we're going to follow it, right? Well, that's not the reason we as Christians should believe in this book right here as God breathed or God's word given to us. And part of it, really, we can come up with a logical argument, right? If you look at some of the reasons, we can certainly say, well, the Bible is historical, right? These are very logical arguments. And what I mean by that is that the things that the Bible writes about or events that goes on are real places, right? This is not some fairy tale place or some of the writings like Atlantis, the city of Atlantis, which has never ever been proven to exist, right? Everything that the Bible has talked about in various places and have been either proven archaeologically or is still in existence of the many places that the Bible talks about it. So we can certainly say that the Bible is historical in the sense of the places it talks about are real, right? So it's real in that respect. The other is what scholars call the harmony or the consistency of the Bible, right? You can read through Genesis through all the way through Revelation, and you get a consistent theme. And that theme is God loves us. God has made a plan for mankind to save us, and it's throughout, right? Even the stories and God shared, and especially in the Old Testament, we see that theme that God had a plan, right? He chose a chosen people of Israel, and that plan was to bring about a redeemer. Those people would be brought about as a chosen. So again, it's consistent. Well, what is that? What's the big deal about that? Well, understand that the books of the Bible and it's been written, especially the Old Testament, has been written over thousands of years by hundreds of different authors. All right, and God spoke to these prophets and those folks that Moses and Abraham. And these things were given to them, and God spoke to them, and it was a consistent message, right? And many people that knew very little or nothing about the other writers were consistently wrote. So logically, we can say the Bible is unique like any other book, right? It's nothing like it in that respect. But really, that as believers is no reason to believe in the Bible, right? It's really supernatural what we believe and understand that is when we speak of it as believers in Christ, we believe this Bible is a living Bible. What does that mean? Well, it simply means that when we read even this psalm, for example, it will speak to our hearts, right? It can speak to us, and we can understand the struggles as we read some of the stories and events and some of the characters in the Bible. Those very same struggles that they went through, we still with, right? And that Bible speaks to us there and see their faith or sometimes their failures and their struggles. And all that we can understand, and understand it's supernatural in the sense of the message that is given is there for us. It's not just to give us a history lesson of what happened when Daniel or David or Moses or Abraham, as they lived their life, the things they did certainly is historical in that respect, and we can understand the events and the times of that where they were going on. But what they dealt with and the things that they learned about God is conveyed to us in our own lives. So in that respect, is supernatural. With all that said, that's still not reason for me as a believer to really hang on to this Bible and say, well, it's true from cover to cover, right? It's not enough to say, well, I can put my faith in what it's telling me and that what God's promises are going to come about. That's not really a reason to understand, you know, that this is for us and it's real, or the things it talks about Jonah and a big fish, or lots of times it's called a whale, but it's talked about a big fish, and the things, all those things of the time of the Old Testament things that seem that person who was a skeptic, you know, fanciful stories and miracles that are over the head, that Israelites crossed the Dead Sea by dry ground as God parted the sea. All those things are almost too hard to believe in the natural, right? But why should we believe them, right? I mean, isn't that hard to believe? Well, I say we believe them because, first of all, it starts with Jesus. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have given our lives to this man who come to earth, and we believe that he is truly God in person, right? And he came to come and die upon the cross to die for our sins, and that and in 3 days he did rise from the dead, and we rely on that faith and that understanding as a belief, and that we give ourselves to him and his teaching, and to understand that he is God and he is our Lord and our Savior. So it starts with him, the fact that we believe in Jesus. And so, well, that's wonderful. Okay, we believe the Gospels because that, in essence, is reliable, because the authors of the four Gospels are those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, right? They actually either recorded those of who eyewitnessed Jesus walk upon the earth and the miracles that he did and the things that he taught and the eyewitness that he died on the cross and definitely eyewitnesses that he rose on the third day, right? And these writers were consistent about that same message, and we can understand that, and so that's part of where we became believers in it. So all this comes back, well, what makes the rest of the Bible believable? Because Jesus believed the rest of the Bible was believable. Jesus quoted over and over, time after time, prophecies by the prophets. He commented about the prophets, right? He talked about Jonah, right? As Jonah was in the fish or the well for 3 days, so will the Son of Man. So that, in essence, Jesus himself gives validity to that fanciful story that people can't hardly believe, right? He referenced to the fact that the days of Noah, right? As it was in the days of Noah. So that Jesus confirms the fact, the story of Noah, about what he taught and said. And so, again, why do we believe this is the Word of God? Because Jesus believed it is the Word of God, okay? And it really, for us as believers, it stops there. right? It really, the rust, the logic, it's logical. Yes, it was real places and times. Yes, it speaks to us as believers and the supernatural means that it is real as it talks to us as we read it. Yes, that is, but to ultimately, that we should understand that we believe the Bible is the Bible and the true Word of God because Jesus says it was. Okay? And so that, in essence, is where we should come down upon the fact that as somebody may be skeptic, you're not going to convince anybody that wants not to believe in the Bible. But at least we have our argument. And we can give them the logical, yes. We can give them the understanding that the Bible is living and breathing and it speaks to us as we read it, and challenge them to read the Gospels and see what that does. And that, in essence, has saved so many people that were skeptics, so many people who were, quote, atheists. And they read the Gospels, and God used the Gospels to speak to them, to get, open their eyes to the understanding. And as we have grown in Christ in our lives, we learn that the Bible continues, helps us to grow, helps us to understand what is going on in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 35, says, Scripture cannot be broken. In other words, Jesus says, this is going to be living and breathing and working until He comes again. Right? This the Bible will not be ever outdated. The Bible will never that we don't need the Bible. Mankind will continually need this to reach to this and look to this for our strength as believers, our understanding to become believers, and to answer, if you would, the things of life that we all have. And Jesus, many people say, well, some of it is maybe from God, but some of it's not. But Jesus made the point in Matthew, says, do not think I come to destroy the law or the prophets. In other words, God's word. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And he goes on and points out, not a dot or tittle, not anything in the Bible, it will, in essence, be not founded to be true. So finally, just to wrap up, the things, the psalmist, as he pointed out, the things that, you know, we love about the Bible, that is something that, you know, it's like it's honey to our hearts. But it also gives us understanding, as he points out, what it's done for us. I love verse 9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, right? The young men, in other words, those who are seeking after God, it will help cleanse our way, right? It helps, as we know, as believers, God's word cleanses. Your word can revive us. Verse 25 says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Any of us, as we know, the life beats us down. Life, you know, we go through the week, and if we don't read God's word, we can get beat down real quick and easily. But God, when we read God's word, it can help revive us. It can help give us that hope back. It help can refocus the fact that, you know, this is not our home. This is a temporary abode, if you would, until He comes again and takes us home. And so we can be revived, right? That revived means to be renewed, to be made alive again. And it can strengthen us. Verse 28 goes, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me. Again, that's kind of that reviving. It's again, those times we get beating down, we need to have strength, right? It's too easy to give up. It's so easy to say, I've had it. I just don't want to have any more to do with it. But God's word comes along and gives us strength. There is hope. There is a reason I'm here. God created me for a reason. He created me for Him and to be His instrument and to use me and to bless Him. And we need to be reminded of that. Because, you know, we talk about, we forget about a lot of things, right? Well, we forget about what God has promised us. We forget about what God says in His Word, that, you know, He's always there, right? Sometimes we need to be reminded of that in our lives. And of course, the ultimate one is verse 41, where it says His Word brings about salvation. Verse 41, it says, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Right? God's word is what told us about His salvation. It told us about His plan for mankind. It told us about Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as a babe, but came and walked, and God Himself came to this earth, and he bore our sins upon a cross, right? That we can be set free, that we can be before a holy God in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Nothing that we did deserve it, nothing but by His grace we are saved, and right? And God's Word told us that. God's Word conveyed that to us. God's Word tells us that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the one that He promised to come and save the people. And we are recipients of that as His people. Praise God that He, through His Word, has conveyed that. And down through the generations after generations, His Word has spoke to people time after time, and people have believed. And praise God, we can be counted among those, right? That God's Word has spoken to us all. And so, you know, we often struggle with spending time in God's Word. We often struggle with not always understanding some of God's Word, right? That's true. But God's Word is still there. It's still real. It still has a purpose and a key part of our lives as Christians. And we need to be in God's Word. And I know life kind of wants to wipe us away from that time that we spend in God's Word. We just need to be disciplined. We need to stand strong in God's Word and to spend time in it, right? Because it has there for a reason, not only just to save us, but to, again, as the psalmist points out, to cleanse our way, to strengthen us, to revive us, right? And so praise God for His Word, and let us not take it for granted. Let us not be shy about sharing it to people and understanding that we can stand here and say, you know, you may not want to believe, but we believe God's Word first of all and most of all because Jesus Christ is in that Word. He saved us, and we believe that. And then ultimately, Jesus gave validity to God's Word, and we know it certainly by other logical means. But the key is that it changes lives, right? It changed our lives. It's changed my life. And I praise God for His Word. Amen.